This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit with two very special guests, Rafael Rodriguez Castro, who is part of a healing and worship apostolate. Welcome to the show, Rafael.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. And back by popular demand, a very key part of Spirit-Filled Hearts is Katie Hughes. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
And one of the things that we're so passionate about, and really the title of this show, is God's divine mercy. Because God is so merciful, and He just demonstrates that in so many different ways. And last Sunday, we had Divine Mercy Sunday. But we are all part of this God's mercy through His death and resurrection, through His healing. And that's a big part, Rafael, of your experience of just understanding God's mercy when early on in life, I know you were struggling like we all were. And tell us your story. Tell us about what happened and where you grew up and just in general how God touched you.
Well, I grew up in El Monte. That's around L.A. County. Growing up, experience-wise, my elementary school days, my middle school days, and even early high school days weren't the best, per se. I was bullied in and out, you know, and it didn't help at all when I would defend my case. I would get angry, I would get aggressive, but whenever I would try to defend myself or try to state my case and so on, the principals and the staff at the schools would actually turn on me and actually believe the bullies that it was my own fault. And these type of things would happen so often that at one point my parents and the school staff started asking, well, there's something up with this kid. There's something going on. He's not exactly the most normal of people. And they actually gave me a couple psychiatric tests. And through those psychiatric tests, they didn't tell me until a couple months after they got the actual results, I was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. And growing up with Asperger's syndrome in the society, especially around the time that I was younger, there wasn't much known about the syndrome or about the condition.
So tell us about what that is for our listening audience that may not really be familiar with it.
So Asperger's syndrome is essentially a form of autism, a form of mild autism. It can vary from very mild to moderate. Usually somebody who has Asperger's is very concealed about it. It's not noticeable. Like if you were to talk to somebody with Asperger's syndrome, you wouldn't know right off the bat that they have this Asperger's syndrome.
And how does it manifest itself? I mean, what's it look like?
Well, I don't know how to answer that. However, I do know there are some symptoms. Like, for example, sensitivity to sound. There is a lot of, social cues I don't understand.
Okay.
Like, when it comes down to it, like, somebody who would usually get, like, when somebody would drop a hint or something or try to hint at something, like, somebody with Asperger's syndrome wouldn't know what you're trying to say until you say it overtly.
Okay, so it's almost like this sensory integration of really thought processes that you cannot assimilate quite as effectively. Does that make sense?
I think like inferring even body language, mm-hmm. or someone's even probably like sarcasm wouldn't necessarily be filtered the same way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. At times we're very literal. Sometimes sarcasm is so easily detected. Mm-hmm. When it comes to mild Asperger's, like in my case, sarcasm is very easily. Mm-hmm. However, if it's good sarcasm, I won't know for the life of me. You know?
So you receive something as it relates to this. Would you call it a disease or would you call it a handicap? What would you call it?
I wouldn't call it a disease or a handicap. However, it does get in the way at times.
Okay.
Where a lot of times my story is part of the fact that I was diagnosed with it, and it was a bit of a handicap, treated as a disease, where people would put me in this box of, like, Asperger's syndrome. That's all he is. That's the person.
So they would define you that way. So you grew up not being understood, and you grew up being bullied by some people, and then what happened?
Well, they thought they could manage the situation and make life better for me once they diagnosed me. However, they did the one thing you don't do with somebody who has a mental handicap, if you will. They isolated them from everybody else. And it was in the classroom as well, in the classroom with the other children. And it was suspicious, to say the least. And it got a lot of kids talking. And not necessarily in the nicest ways. The bullying increased a lot. They thought I was a freak. They thought I was weird, like something else, something to be feared almost.
So you were in this situation where you were a unique person. And where were you in terms of where you were with the Lord at that time? Was God at all present in your life?
I was very blessed to grow up in a Catholic home. I'm a credo Catholic. However, I knew about God, but I didn't know God, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're Empowered by the Spirit with our guest, Rafael Rodriguez Castro, talking about his growing up and the challenges that he has had. And like so many of us know God intellectually, but we often talk about that journey from the head to the heart. And Katie, when we talk about divine mercy and God's mercy is to show us that journey from head to heart.
Yes. You know, the Lord, his mercy is unending and is more than we could ever handle or understand. And that, you know, wherever we are in our relationship with him, as much as we'll open up to his mercy, he will rush in to the level that we're willing to accept his mercy in whatever state we are in.
And so, you know, he wants to bring us closer and closer to Christ. And so you grew up in a Catholic family, Rafael, and a cradle Catholic. But like you say, you had a head knowledge, but not so much in your heart and that transformation. So continue your story.
That same stuff about the whole bullying and the whole mental handicap, if you will, continued on into middle school. Middle school, I got sort of a fresh start, if you will. No, not everybody knew about me or knew me personally. Some of them knew, but it wasn't all the same classmates. A couple of them here and there, but it was mostly new faces. However, as I did mention, Asperger's syndrome does come with a sensitivity to sound, and that sensitivity manifests itself 100-fold when there's thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, it was during PE, it was really early in the morning, a sudden thunderstorm came rolling into my town, and there was a roar of thunder while I was outside, and I panicked, because mm-hmm. my ears were just bothering me so much, I began to, like, almost cower in fear, if you will. And the kids perceived that as like, oh, he's afraid of thunder. And the break I caught from bullying, if you will, was over at that moment. It was pretty much the whole school like, he's afraid of thunder, he's a coward, stuff like that. And a lot of the friends that I made from the marching band I was in quickly turned on me because they thought it was hilarious. I was blessed, though, because the school staff understood to a certain degree what Asperger's was, and they understood where I came from. So they were very helpful, as much as they could at least, but there's only so much you can do in a middle school setting.
So know? a lot of pain when you were growing up and a lot of suffering. Mm-hmm. Then continue on as it relates to your later years and high school and beyond.
High school was when I went to high school, I went to a school that was outside of my area. It was Arroyo High School, more northern Almani. I was raised in South Almani, so I knew nobody at that school. The way I saw it, fresh start, fresh beginnings. However, like that burden I still carried from my early years, all that bullying, all that torment, it started manifesting itself into depression at that point. And it was very hard to masquerade. And through high school, I just carried that everywhere. Just very negative, very heavy, almost prideful, if you will, presence that you can't tell me anything because, you know. I didn't want to hear different. I didn't want to hear that I was playing the victim or anything like that. I was depressed. I was stuck in that circle. It was almost inescapable.
My brothers and sisters, you're listening to Rafael Rodriguez Castro talking about his journey, his story, and perhaps as he's talking and you're listening, that there are certain things in your life that you can relate to. Maybe not being accepted by people in the way that you want them to accept you. Maybe being kidded and ridiculed. I know I was made fun of by my parents, actually my father in particular, because my language as an early child wasn't what was normal. And so I was being, you know, laughed at and ridiculed in front of people. And it's very, very painful. But Jesus's solution, Jesus's mercy is the solution. Instead of turning to, you know, some type of outlet in which you're going to mask that pain, turn to Jesus. You know, and that ultimately is what happened to you, is you grew up and you're in the situation where you're being abused by friends or so-called friends. You're being laughed at and ridiculed. When did you discover Jesus? At what point?
That was around during the summer break of my junior year in high school. I was going into senior year of high school, and I remember it was an invitation by a close friend of mine who's still at Sora Azusa these weeks, and she told me, I know a place where there's people just like you and they're trying to get better. And keep in mind, at that point, the people I knew within the Catholic churches in my area were very, like, hard on me. Like, oh, this is kind of your fault. Look at you, all rockero and stuff like that. You know, you listen to heavy metal, you're nothing but a sinner. And I'm just like, you know what? At that point, I'm desperate for anything, you know? Anything out of this hellish torment, if you will, that I'm in, this depressive state, this suicidal state. She told me that she would pick me up and take me to someplace in Azusa. I'm just like, oh, sure, you know, let's do that. We were driving, and sure enough, we were pulling up to the Catholic church, and I'm just like, no, please, no, anything but that. Sure enough, we pulled into the parking lot, and I remember when I walked into the auditorium, a brother came up to me, and he says, hi, brother, we're happy to have you. For the first time, like, I felt like somebody was looking beyond my appearance. They were seeing something in me. I didn't know what it was at the time. They just loved me right off the bat.
Katie, one of the interesting things is how God calls us. In John 15:16, it says, it's not you who called me, but I have called you and anointed you to bear fruit. And so we are called by God when we least expect it sometimes.
Yes, the Lord has a plan for each one of us, and even when we're diverted off that plan due to the hurts and the wounds, you know, the bad choices, whether, you know, circumstance in our family, in your situation, Raphael, you know, you don't always know who God is, and but he always has you in his mind. He's always, wherever you're at, he's always trying to approach us. And so the Lord is so merciful in that, and so creative in how he'll use something that you would normally be afraid of and change the game. And it can be a very transforming moment when you are desperate.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here we are in the Easter season. So can I say this? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to be right back with Rafael Rodriguez Castro and Katie Hughes as we talk about God's divine mercy. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This year's breakfast event will feature a keynote by Cardinal Timothy Dolan and a Lifetime Achievement Award for Modern Day's Coach of the Year, Bruce Rawlinson, and other surprises.
This is Father Dave Dwyer, and I'll see you on May 4th.
To purchase tickets or be an event sponsor, go to orangecatholicfoundation.org. That's orangecatholicfoundation.org.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit with Rafael Rodriguez Castro, who is part of a healing and worship apostolate, and Katie Emily Hughes, who is part of Spirit-Filled Hearts, an important, critical part of our ministry at Spirit-Filled Hearts. And we're talking about God's divine mercy. We're talking about growing up in an environment that there was a lot of pain and suffering. And so many times, Raphael, we have this decision to make. We're at that crossroads. In fact, I believe this is so true, and that's why I love the parable of the sower, speaking of the sower, because, you know, you have that seeds that fall down, and then the trials and tribulations come in, or the devil comes in, and we have decisions to make. Do we accept the trials? Do we accept the tribulation and turn it over to Christ and let him heal us and let him carry us and let him strengthen us? Or do we get into the world and try and solve it ourselves? And so many times we get in the world, and so many times we choose, you know, money or fame or sex or drugs or whatever. And tell us about your story as it relates to those challenges and what you did.
Well, for a good time, I started rebelling into the whole heavy metal area, you know. And this is far beyond the names that everybody knows, like Megadeth or stuff like that, or Metallica. This is far beyond that. I just, throughout the years of elementary school, middle school, high school, I just became so angry. I had this heavy, angry presence, and I took it everywhere I went. And it resonated, and it manifested, if you will, a lot in the music I would listen to. Very aggressive, very, I dare to say, anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Jesus, all that stuff. I was just angry.
Like so many people, and you out there that are listening, you may say to yourself, is there any hope for me? I've moved away from God. I don't feel God's presence. I don't feel he exists. But God is there for you, and God is knocking on the door, knocking, knocking, knocking. And ask yourself, what can I do to get closer to God? Ask and you will receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Matthew 7:7, Luke 11:9. So you're in a situation where you may not even be asking. You're just heavily involved in heavy metal, heavily involved, can we say sin?
Yeah, you can say that.
And heavily involved in moving away from God. As it says in Ignatian spirituality, we can either move towards God, which is consolation, or away from God, which is desolation. Psychologists say we make up to 2,000 choices every day of moving towards God or away from God. So you were kind of moving away from God. And and how many years were you involved in that?
I want to say roughly 2 to 3 years.
And so what changed? What had you get out of that?
Believe it or not, as I was moving away from God, there was this little seed that my parents planted into me as a child. Throughout all that time that I was in there, whenever I would go to shows, whenever I would do the drugs, drink the alcohol, I would think to myself, what's going to happen when I die? Like, is there a possibility that there is a God and that he's not going to be very happy with what I'm doing?
Amen. You know, and Katie, that's so important to have that reflection and to understand God's mercy. See, this is where people really get so hung up. They get this self-condemnation. My brothers and sisters, in Romans 8:1, it says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Jesus is not condemning you. He died and rose again. His mercy is there for us. We just have to embrace that mercy.
Yes, there's no sin greater than the sin of Good Friday, when Jesus took upon all our sins of all time. So Jesus already had conquered every sin possible. And at that time, he was merciful, where he didn't have to, but he forgave. He asked his Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so at that point, when Jesus said that, that's when the forgiveness, that's when our Father was able to unleash this great mercy that he had promised all of us. And so it's hard to understand it until you get to the heart of it, you know, until you're, you have nothing else. And then you just realize the Holy Spirit, you were baptized. So that is ever constant and in your life. And so when the Lord planted that seed, that moment when you're able to say, oh yeah, I got to think about this. And it's just this constant, the Lord gently pressing his light and into that dark place.
My brothers and sisters, there are people listening right now. You just tuned in. You just tuned in and you're listening to this show on mercy. God is there to show you his divine mercy, his forgiveness. He died and rose again that you may have eternal salvation. The sin that you committed, forgive yourself. God has already forgiven you. He's just waiting for you to come to him with open arms and say, I accept you. I believe in you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again that I may have eternal salvation. Thank you. My brothers and sisters, forgive yourself. There is nothing, as it says in Romans 8, that will separate you from God's love. Neither present things or future things, height or depth or angels or principalities, nothing will separate you from God's love. You could get there through different ways. And Raphael's talking about kind of this understanding of eternity and really a self-reflection. Or somehow, some way, you can open up your heart to see how much God loves you by the people he brings in your life. So you had this awareness, this awakening. Well, maybe there is something to this, that there is a God and that there is eternal life. And then what happened, Raphael?
I remember I was just stuck with that. I wanted to know about God, but as I said earlier, a lot of the people that were people of God, if you will, that I grew up with were very like, oh, you listen to heavy metal, you're a sinner, you're whatever you want to call it. And that drew me away even more. It's just like, I want to believe there's something in here, but like, if this God is making them say these things to other people, I don't want to know. It was kind of self-contradictory. Like, I want to know if there is one, but if it's that one, forget it, you know?
So you were in this position where God was knocking on the door. You were opening up your heart. You probably in some level within your soul and within your gut, you knew that what you were doing with heavy metal was not of the Lord. And then what happened? You had this calling and so forth, this whisper, I guess. What happened from there?
At that point, I was already knee deep and just throwing my life away, just wasting it away already at 16, 17 years old. And that's when I got the invitation to Sower Azusa. And I remember just the greeting at the door, and of course, and they had the worship, and I'm just there like, y'all are weird. What is this? But I listened to the preaching, and I prayed at the altar call, and it's just something was shaking in me that's just like kind of like a knock, if you will, like, what are you doing? You're throwing your life away. Just come to me. At that point, I'm just like, I don't know who you are, but I'm going to stick around to see if I find out. And boy, did I find out.
So this is so important, my brothers and sisters. Maybe, you know, you've heard about Jesus. You could be a cradle Catholic. You could be someone who has gone to church. But there's a difference between knowing about something and knowing someone. Knowing someone in your heart, having that experience. And so you were now seeking, right? You were trying to find something that was knocking at the door for you. And tell us about that journey.
The journey has not been easy, to say the least. I'm not going to sit here and say that my heart changed immediately and I left the music. It's been a process. But slowly but surely, my heart's been changing. My heart's been really taming. God's been taming my heart and my soul. I can definitely say I'm not the angry person anymore. I'm not filled with rage. I'm not angry. I don't resent anybody that's done me wrong. And now it's gone to the point where if I listen to that music, I try to go back to it. I ask myself, like, why are you so angry? Like, stop. You know?
Right.
Like, my heart just, my ears don't tolerate that anymore. I'm at a different place.
You know, and And it is a process. And for some people, it could be flipping the switch. But for many people, it's this constant war. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. He says, you know, I do what I do not understand, Romans 7:15. For I do not do what I want, but I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I concur that the law is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. You see, we have this battle, this constant battle in which the enemy and maybe our own weakness is trying to draw us away from God. And sometimes we slip and fall. And that's why going to reconciliation is so critical about understanding God's mercy. You know, people feel, Katie, that they get embarrassed because they keep going back to reconciliation, saying the same thing. But God is so patient as part of his divine mercy.
It's our relationship with God is ever constant, and his love is ever constant, and he's mindful of us. And sin for us, I often see it as a way of reminding us that we need him and we need his help. And it has to be a constant help, and always to be in relationship with him. And so when we sin and we have that on us and we have that shame and that remorse and that contrite heart, and we go to him with that, then we're humbling ourselves and realizing we need our Savior and that he wants to reconcile this relationship with us. Because he's always there. He's never changing. And even when we're battling these things and it's a habit or an addiction, and it's a comfort for us, it's our go-to of how to survive the world. And so God's trying to tell us, you don't need that. But I'm patient with you, and you'll eventually get it. And that his love, like you said, is so merciful that his love, you know, will break through that darkness and that time that he gives us. I mean, greater the time we have to be healed, how greatly we will appreciate it when we've conquered that sin.
And really, it's God's grace that conquers the sin, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it is a surrender. It is making a decision to surrender to Christ. And when we make that decision to surrender to Christ, everything changes. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, for you to say, I surrender. I surrender to your love. I surrender to your mercy. I surrender to your healing. Everything happens when we surrender. Jesus is walking along the shore of Galilee, comes across Peter, comes across the apostles, and says, come follow me. On this show right now, empowered by the Spirit, Jesus saying to you, with my divine mercy, that I am showering you with grace, unmerited favor, I'm showering you with blessings. Come follow me. Come follow me. This is exactly what has happened to Katie, what happened to Raphael, what's happened to me, and what's happened to many of you. But for some of you, you haven't yet made that decision to say, I give you all that I have. Melt me, mold me, use me. Melt me and mold me into your image. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Powered by the Spirit. We're going to learn more about this exciting journey of saying yes to Jesus' divine mercy. We'll be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. It's Deacon Steve Greco high atop the Tower of Hope here, beautiful Christ Cathedral. You're listening to Rafael Rodriguez Castro and Katie Hughes. We're talking about God's divine mercy in this Easter season, which we experience Divine Mercy Sunday last weekend. But God's mercy is just going on and on and on. But it really comes down to, Rafael, for at least from my perspective, the degree that we surrender is the degree that we embrace that mercy, embrace that unmerited favor, that grace, and so forth. And we have a very large Spanish-speaking audience, and I'd like you to address them in Spanish about why is it so important to make that step and surrender and say, Lord, take over my life.
Pues, discúlpeme porque mi español no es tan bueno que digamos. Bueno, para darle todo al Señor es muy importante porque eso es cuando empieza tu conversión, eso es cuando empieza los cambios en tu vida. No va a ser necesariamente en todo fácil ya en ese momento, pero Dios te va a dar esa gracia para continuar con tu vida, con las pruebas que vienen, con los tiempos que no son, que son bien difíciles. Te empieza a dar esa gracia, te empieza a dar esa sabiduría y también bravery para continuar con tu vida con el Señor. Y también eso es cuando el Señor te puede empezar a usar para su gloria, para traer a la gente, para traer más almas a la iglesia, para se convierten más personas y den, que se den. Y también es como una como un chain reaction.
So tell us what you're told the Spanish-speaking audience.
So what I was saying is, it's very important to give your life to surrender it all, because at that point is when God begins to give you the grace to overcome any challenges, anything that you need to defeat, anything you need to conquer. He gives you that courage, that wisdom, just that bravery to overcome any obstacles. It's not necessarily going to get easy right on the spot, but it's not going to seem as hard either, because you have God behind you, God with you. And the moment you give your life to the Lord, and the moment you say you want to be used by God, the moment you really give that surrender and say, I no longer want to be the recipient, I want to be used by God so other people could experience what I've experienced, that's when God can really begin using you for that exact purpose.
Yeah, and my brothers and sisters, I have often said this, and I really, really believe it. To the degree that you want to be used by the Lord is the degree that you'll be used. The exact percentage. You know, you may not have in your mind, well, I want 10% or 20%, but whatever it is, whatever it turns out to be, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is doing God's will, and then you'll be satisfied, which is Matthew 5:6, the fourth beatitude. To what extent, my brothers and sisters, do you hunger and thirst for it? To what extent do you want to be used? And so, as you mentioned, Rafael, it often is a gradual thing in which you more and more and more begin to understand that God is calling you, and God has called you into this healing and worship ministry. Tell us about that.
Well, it's interesting. I'm part of this apostolate in my hometown in Almani. What we do is we bring in people. We talk to them about the Lord. We talk to them about, like, it's more evangelization than it is healing, but we talk to them about Lord, we sit them down, we have testimony, we have worship, and we have an altar call, but it's a very intensive altar call, and we begin to ask him to touch those wounds that have affected us our whole lives. We begin to let him pour out and control us. That's essential for this apostolate. We want to be controlled by the Spirit. We want to be led by him. We don't want to be in control. That's, again, the surrender. Just whatever you want to do, God, do it, you know? We're not going to be in control. This isn't by our own merits, but it's whatever you wish to do within this time, within this night, in this apostolate. And I don't do much preaching. I don't do much speaking. I do worship there. And again, when it comes to worship, I don't view myself as a star. I don't view myself as somebody like, oh yeah, I'm performing. No, it's singing to the Lord, just putting myself in that presence and realizing that I am singing songs for the Lord, and maybe even singing a song that will penetrate somebody's heart because the Holy Spirit is speaking through them through whatever I'm saying or whatever I'm singing.
Worshiping, my brothers and sisters, is not about entertaining. It's about being in the presence of God and praising God, which is so critical, Katie, because when we learn how to praise God, everything changes. And healing, a big part of his healing comes when we are praising him, when we open up our hearts and worship him and let him know how much we love him.
The Lord inhabits those who praise him. And when we're glorifying God and loving him and expressing our love and thanks to him and praising who he is in our life, he showers that praise upon us as loving. We're part of that. We're in union. We're in a relationship with him. And he wants to just bestow upon us all his riches and glory. And part of it is that we're part of that. We're in that glory of his. And he does that with his mercy.
And God's mercy is unlimited. It's unlimited. And so here you were. You had struggled. You'd gone into sin like all of us have. You've gone into heavy metal. You've gone into a different type of formatting music and performing music in a different way. And all of a sudden now you're worshiping the Lord. What has been the difference as it relates to now your current worship versus the heavy metal in the past?
The worship is fulfilling. That's the main emphasis I put on worship. Because when it's worship, you know this is for something else. This is something far greater than yourself. This is for our Lord, for his church, for the conversion of souls, and for the outpouring of his love onto whatever community we're called to. Heavy metal was just, you go in, you play your 20-minute set, and you're out. It was very, very dull, very, like, people didn't care about you, they cared about your music. You were just a figurehead for the music.
Amen. And you feel love.
Of course.
Now, you feel that love, you feel that joy, you feel that peace that makes such a big difference. And it's exciting. It's so exciting. You know, and so what are some of your favorite songs, by the way? Just
a huge, huge list. Well, Breaking Through by Bethel Music is definitely one of my favorites because it's just that's my story in a song. God, you're always breaking through the dark, breaking into lives and healing hearts.
I love that.
You know?
And that's a big part of what God's mercy is breaking through. My brothers and sisters, are you ready for a major breakthrough? Are you ready to let God transform you in this metanoia? Are you ready to be a new creation, to break through the addiction? There are so many addictions out there, so much drugs, so much sexual addiction, pornography, so forth. What would you say to those people right now listening, Raphael? There is so much hope for them. Go ahead.
Again, what you said, there's hope for you. This addiction does not define you. You are destined for much greater than to just be concealed in the small box that this addiction, whatever the world has put you in, whatever Satan has tried to trap you in, you're made for much more than that. Whatever the world is telling you you are, whether they're telling you you're worthless, you're an addict, or you're hopeless, that's a lie. I'm telling you right now, that's a lie. God says you're far greater than whatever horrible situation that you're in. And you can break through, you can break out if you just surrender your life.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, when you say yes to God, when you go one inch to the Lord, he goes a mile. He goes 100 miles. He goes an infinite number of miles. Just move slightly towards him. And he will do the rest. He will carry us. And right now, we're praying in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to break addictions of pornography, which are rampant out there. Drug addictions, sexual addictions, alcohol addictions. They're broken in the name of Jesus. For so many people out there right now, they're listening in. Say yes to him. Surrender to him. Believe in him. Believe in him. He said I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He told us in John 14:12, you will do what I do and more because I go to the Father before you. My brothers and sisters, there is no addiction that is stronger than the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Jesus.
We praise you, Lord God. And understanding the power of God is a big part of what transforms us, Raphael. Your thoughts. That's, and the love of God, right?
And the love of God, yeah, and the love. Just, there's no way to define it. Like, you understand it, but you just can't define it. This is something else, something much more fulfilling, something that just satisfies your soul far beyond anything else could ever tell you, you know?
You know, but what's the devil tell you? The devil whispers in your ear and says, oh, you'll never change.
You'll never change. This is only momentary. This is emotionalism is what it is. He tries to tell you a lot that this is just a one-night thing where you feel his love and then you'll go back. That's all a lie. He's just kind of tempting you to go back and lying to you, saying as if that's all you're going to be. And but he tells you that because he knows that through you there's going to be far greater movements that God can use. He's afraid of that, so he lies to you every chance he gets.
So let's talk about reality. So many people want to change. They may go to an event like you have or at the Sower or different places, Spirit-Filled Hearts prayer meetings and so forth, and they may feel the love of God. They may feel his presence. They may say, yes, I transform me, I surrender, and so forth. And then they fall flat on their face. What do you say to those people?
Keep persisting. Keep persisting. When you feel that temptation to fall again, fall back into your old ways or into your sin, if you will, just pray to God. Just pray to Mama Mary. Just ask Mama Mary for intercession. You know, when you feel yourself being pulled back into that lifestyle, just remember who you're giving your life to. That sin that you want to go back to is not you anymore. You're being called to something else, something greater, to our God.
In Hebrews 10:36, it says you need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he's promised. That endurance is a big part. So many times we slip and fall, so many times, but that's why we have reconciliation. But you also talked about the Blessed Mother. A Blessed Mother appeared to St. Bridget of Sweden and said, I am the Mother of Mercy. How is the Blessed Mother? Why is the Blessed Mother so important, Katie, to us as our spiritual mother?
The Lord gave her to us to take on the protection of her mantle, to guide us on how to live our lives as a Christian, to be an authentic Christian, and how to live it, how to live out the gospel, how in her quiet ways of always pointing to Jesus, she leads us to him, his way. So following Jesus, and we need the fuel in our sacraments of our Catholic Church are so important, not just reconciliation, but the actual body and blood of Jesus at that Mass. And we have our Divine Mercy Chaplet that we can rely on, the Rosary, you know, in destroying the enemy in our lives is with the Rosary. She steps on the head of Satan in our lives. And so with her intercession and pointing us to Jesus, with our church and all that it has to offer, the goodness, the Lord gives us what we need for that marathon of life and give us the endurance, the fuel that we need to come to him.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to be right back to talk more about God's divine mercy, God's infinite love for us. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This incredible conference is packed every year with men and women who are truly making a difference in our diocese. It's also a wonderful way to raise funds to provide financial aid for students who are unable to afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org and we'll see you on May 4th.
My name is Nick Jordan. I'm the founder of Wells of Life. I'm here to tell you that there are 10 million people in Uganda without access to clean water. Imagine your water comes from a stream or pond shared with animals. Imagine that this water is loaded with parasites and disease. Each day, you have to walk 3 miles to fetch this because it's all the water there is. So what can you do about this? The great news is you can do a lot. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. Talk to your family, church, or company about funding your own well. Every penny goes to fund your well and will bring water and life to as many as 1,000 parishioners in rural Uganda for up to 20 years. Go to wellsoflife.net and make a personal donation. Wellsoflife.net.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Powered by the Spirit with two very wonderful anointed people, Rafael Rodriguez Castro and Katie Hughes. We're talking about God's divine mercy. And you had mentioned before the break about Divine Mercy Chaplet and how important that is. And, you know, I don't know if you say it, Rafael, but if you don't, do you say it?
Of course.
Of course. Yeah. Wow. I shouldn't even question it. My brothers and sisters, please, 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 Divine Mercy Chaplet and Rosary, but let's start with Divine Mercy Chaplet. Why is that so important, Katie, to have that part of our everyday life? It's only like 10 minutes, but it's so powerful.
Well, it reaches into the promise of God and that he destroyed every evil with his dying on the cross, and he spilled his blood, and with the blood and the water, he has purified us, he has cleansed us, and he can do that on a daily basis. He can do that for our family members when we pray the chaplet. He can do that at the hour of our death for any soul. And one of the coolest thing I love about Divine Mercy, it's kind of like Jesus said, I didn't come for the holy ones. I came for the sinners. I came for the tax collectors. I came for the prostitutes. I came to those who are at the depths of despair in sin. And he takes that Divine Mercy chaplet that we pray and he restores. He restores his relationship with us. He restores a relationship with our loved ones who are away from the church and those who do not even know God. And he asks us to pray. He asks us to pray for those who don't know him, because they don't, and they need somebody to pray. And this, for the sake of the sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Have mercy. Have mercy. We don't deserve any. We don't deserve your forgiveness. We don't deserve heaven. But by your mercy, we are adopted children of God, and you want us.
Amen. 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 We can't even possibly comprehend how much God loves us. We can get an inkling of it. We can't comprehend his incredible mercy. We can get an inkling of it. But the closer we move to Jesus, Raphael, the closer we move to him, the more we feel that love, the more we feel that mercy.
Of course, yeah. Walking with the Lord now, just knowing about his love, not just like intellectually, but just like in the heart, knowing that he loves me, it puts you on a whole new perspective. It gives you a whole new perspective on life. It gives you a whole new outlook. You look at everything around you and it just seems so different. And it's almost surreal to think about what might have happened in your past and just realize that, wow, God has brought me somewhere else, somewhere I never expected to be, you know, far beyond expectation. I just want to put emphasis on that. I never expected that I would be used for something greater and just be surrounded by love at the same time.
And the greater that you say yes to him, the greater you feel that love. And the more people come to you, right? Did you ever think you'd be on a radio show here and all over in the many stations that we're on?
No.
But isn't God amazing, right? Amen.
Amen.
I never thought I'd be a radio show host. I never thought I'd know Jim Govanelli, who, by the way, is one of the greatest people ever. And greatest engineer, just thought I'd throw that in, you know, hard to believe, right? Let alone Michael Amola, you know, our producer okay, enough for that. But I just am so excited. I'm so excited because God's divine mercy transforms us. And I keep coming back to one of the important things, and that is this perseverance. Because the Lord is telling my heart right now that so many people want to receive this mercy, but feel they're unworthy of it. And what would you say to them, Raphael? They feel unworthy.
You feel unworthy, but God is telling you different. Well, yes, we may have sinned. Well, yes, we may have gone through rough paths. God is saying, like, no, I want to give you that mercy. Just receive it. I want to give it to you because I don't want you in this place anymore, in this dark place. I want you to move beyond it. I want you to draw nearer to me. And I want to draw nearer to you as well.
Katie, there are so many times in personality types like mine, for example, where maybe we grew up being judged or being almost condemned, but, you know, you couldn't do anything right, you know, or if you did a few things right, it was like only when you were perfect were you, did you feel loved or whatever it might be. And so we have this self-condemnation where it's easier for me to believe that God loves everybody else, but it's taken a lifetime for me to feel God's love. I do now, certainly. But even now, it's like, okay, I know that God loves you, Raphael, and Katie, but, you know, I see my sin and, well, God can't love me because I'm a sinner. That obviously is a lie from the enemy, right? Mm-hmm. And the closer I get to God, the more I feel that love. But so many people just, you know, it's hard for them to embrace God's love because of the tapes in their mind about things they did wrong. What would you say to them?
It's time to forgive yourself because Jesus did. And it's prideful. And we do ourselves an injustice when we realize, when we think that God can't fix this. God can't forgive me for this. I keep doing it. I'm not worthy of this. Well, by your baptism, you are worthy. Jesus did that for you. And so it's just something where you have to accept it. Accept the truth. Accept that Jesus loves you, died for you, conquered death and sin, and that you're part of his kingdom. Like, just realize you're in a relationship and he wants you. He wants all of you. And it's about faith. And in sin, we are in fear. When we are in sin, we're not trusting God when we sin. And so it's time to trust him. Take a step forward. Move forward in his light and just realize, yeah, he did it for me.
Amen. And you said something really important and for our listeners to really reflect and pray about. It is pride not to forgive yourself when in reality, God has forgiven. Your thoughts on that, Raphael?
Yeah, a little question from like way back in the day actually popped up when you said the whole like we can't forgive ourselves or we don't want to accept God's love. I remember growing up, a line with all the friendships I made always kept on popping up. How could you love me when I've done you so much wrong? And truthfully, that's beyond our comprehension, how we could do somebody so much wrong up to the point where it's just like, I don't deserve your love. Don't waste your time on me. And it's just God is saying, no, you've done all that, but I want to walk with you. I want you to move beyond any of what you've experienced. Yes, you've done wrong. Yes, you've sinned. Yes, you've thrown your life away, but I can repair it if you just trusted me.
As high as the heavens are above the earth, in Isaiah, it says, are my ways above your ways? As high as the heaven is above the earth, we can't comprehend God's love, but we can open our hearts to receive it. And when we receive it, we're transformed by it. And then we say yes to you, Lord God. And we want more and more and more of that. You know, and it is a journey. It is a journey where we have to constantly seek God, constantly ask for God's love to be in our heart and ask for the Holy Spirit. As we get close to God, it's not like reaching a destination and saying, okay, I'm there. It's this constant journey. Your thoughts, Raphael?
Of course, yeah, it's a constant journey, you know. One thing I would always tell one of my closest friends from the apostle is the moment you think you know it all and the moment you think you've reached your destination is when you put that block again on God, like, okay, I'm done. It's like, no, it never ends. This journey never ends from the moment you give your life to God, even to the moment you die. it just keeps on going. It's just a constant journey. You never reach your destination. God always has more paths for you open up along the way. Right when you think you're there is when you need God the most, you know?
So in terms of a vision for your ministry, what would you hope would happen going forward, Raphael?
I don't have, like, a huge vision per se. I just always go by as long as souls are converted and they're brought to God and they understand that there is a God who loves them, there is a God that wants to use them, that sees them beyond whatever the world has defined them as. As long as a few people, one or two, three, whatever God wants to use me for, as long as a few people, through whatever this ministry does, come to understand that and accept that, I'm satisfied.
What email do you have, or how would you like to be reached by? Because there are listeners out there that are listening to you who want to be healed and want to turn their life over to Jesus. You're in the Los Angeles area in El Monte, but do you have an email for people to reach out to you?
Yes, my personal business, whatever you want to call it, is RalphCast, RalphCast, 97 at gmail.com. And our ministry actually has an email as well. If you want to reach us through there, it's VSS777ministry@gmail.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And you guys meet, what, weekly, or how often do you meet?
Weekly, every Thursday night at 7.
Every Thursday night at 7 at what location?
In El Monte. I would have to be contacted to give them the exact location.
Okay, no problem. So that's awesome. So please reach out to Raphael and also reach out to us. You can go DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org, or SpiritfulHearts.org is our website, right, Katie?
Mm-hmm.
And what other things do we have to say regarding, you know, our events and so forth, and to get on our website and social media, Twitter, right?
Yes, we're on Facebook as well as YouTube, Spirit Hearts One, if you want to hear publications of our radio shows as well as events. And then we also have on our website, we have our events calendar. So we always have Life in the Spirit seminars, prayer meetings, and special engagements throughout Southern California.
Yeah, and we've got some big ones coming out as it relates to where we're going for San Bernardino County, Riverside County. We're going to be having a Life in the Spirit at St. Peter and St. Paul on May 12th, 11th and 12th. And then also down at Marietta at St. Martha's Catholic Church. And that's going to be the 18th and 19th. Yeah. And we have a huge event. We're so excited about Andrew Laubacher, A-Lob. And we have worship night here at Christ Cathedral on April 26th at 7 p.m. in Free Theater. And you can get your tickets online.
Yes. Just go to the website for the Diocese of Orange, and they have events calendar, and you'll see our event for April 26th.
So all of this is showing God's love and divine mercy. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So great to have you on the show, Raphael and Katie. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you and worship you and glorify you. May we open our hearts to your divine mercy. May we open our hearts to your love. May we open our hearts to your healing. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intervention and intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Blessed Mother, Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We have been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land Cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to OCCatholic.com/travel.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Private Catholic schools engage and develop all aspects of our students' curiosity. Beyond truly excellent education in core academic areas, Catholic schools have a full offering in the arts, visual, performance, and music. Several schools feature full orchestra, dance, band, and many other highly specialized programs.
Learn more by visiting rcbo.org/Catholic Schools.